City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Wednesday to you on this 29th day of August, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, talking about the fact that this Cardinal put out an 11-page document that basically blames the Pope for covering up sex abuse, and he names names. 11-page document that he has posted. You can read it online, Cardinal Vignano. And yet at the same time, I think it's well documented that he and the Pope have had run-in, and they are at loggerheads with each other. So is it politics? You better believe it. But it's the kind of politics I never would have thought would go this big, this high. And I thought that the cleric abuse was all a settled matter, but apparently it is not. And Pennsylvania is even being the attorney general there says, look, they have very sophisticated, organized cover-up going, and it's still going today. So I get, you can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. American Joe says that report isn't irrefutable proof of anything. Some of the companies were from 70 years ago and based on recovered memories not known to be imaginary, or now known to be imaginary. I don't think so, Joe. If you look at the report, yes, they go back many, many decades. But we're talking about statute of limitations in Pennsylvania that prevents them from going back and prosecuting the 300 priests who were molesting underage boys. I don't know how you can defend anybody that molests children. I don't care how deep your Catholic roots go. This is so wrong. Kurt sends me a tweet, says, Tom, being a Catholic priest and practicing pedophilia has nothing to do with sex. Your argument would hold water if Catholic priests were exploring mature women. This has more to do with homosexuality and being around boys most of their lives. I politely disagree with you, Kurt. I don't think pedophilia and homosexuality are in the same camp at all. Men who are attracted to men are not attracted to boys any more than you might be attracted to a woman. Does that mean you're attracted to little girls? No. Pedophilia is its own demon. And I've said it before. I don't care if a Catholic priest has a relationship with another man. He's gay. Okay. It's the attacking children that harms them, scars them for the rest of their lives. That being a gay man and having a priest come on to you is not going to scar a gay man. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Greg in Texas. Hello, Greg.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
You bet. What do you think?
I think they should stick a fork in the Catholic Church. I mean, I don't believe this is a recent phenomenon. I think this has been going on since the inception of the Catholic Church, because it was born, you do the history, is born in the Roman Empire. It was not born out of Jesus' movement. It was born out of the Roman Empire, who were known practitioners of pedophilia and homosexuality and everything else depraved.
Well, okay, so pedophilia and homosexuality have been part of the human landscape since the beginning of, you know, probably Cain and Abel. I mean, one of them may have been, I don't know, but yes, it goes back forever. So was it alive in the Roman Empire? I'm sure it was. Is it alive today? Yes.
It absolutely was. And I think the rule or the vow of celibacy that these guys have to take. I grew up Catholic. And, you know, they do a whole bunch of sacraments and laws and all of, they add a whole bunch of stuff that the Bible never tells you to do. They just add a bunch of stuff.
Right, right.
That has nothing to do with
man-made rules. all religions have man-made rules, and that, yes, it drives me crazy. But anyway,
And so they require these guys to take these vows, and it's driving them crazy. It literally, I mean, literally, the first couple sentences in the Bible, it is not good for man to be alone. This is the ramification of that when you don't listen.
Yeah.
This is literally the outcome.
Well,
what you're seeing in the Catholic Church is what happens when you don't listen to, it is not good for man to be alone. That means they're going to find somebody else to be with, and it ain't going to be good.
That's why God made Eve. He said, here you go. Here's your partner.
Exactly.
Yes. And if you're like me, growing up in the Catholic Church, you probably also know that Father so-and-so is no longer Father so-and-so. He's left and got married and works for Shell Oil or something. Who knows? But a lot of them left because
those were the smart guys.
Yes, because they realized.
Those were the smart guys.
They realized it. Yeah.
They stayed because they didn't want to break tradition, or they didn't want to get away, or maybe they didn't want to rock the boat. And they're the ones, unfortunately, who maybe have become depraved.
I don't know. I can see where somebody wants to be Christ-like, wants to the bottom of their heart, want to be Christ-like. But you know what, Greg? Not many people can get there. Most of us are frail humans, and we have weaknesses, and Not many of us can get to be Christ-like. That's a pretty high bar.
It's a noble pursuit. But people got to remember, like, the Catholic Church claims that Peter was the first pope.
Right.
But Peter was married.
Yeah.
Peter was a married man in the Bible.
Right.
So they gotta, if they don't do, this is what has to happen. They either got to abolish this rule, or the church needs to go under, because you just can't keep running this franchise of pedophilia. Essentially, that's what it's become. Well, it may have always been, but nobody was talking about it. We didn't have CNN and all of these news organizations.
Right.
But
here's the thing. Here's the thing. You don't know what happens with your coworkers when they go home. You don't. I mean, we've all had some surprises in our lives of where, oh my gosh, that person was so nice at work. But this is a little different. This is where your roommates, you're living together. Wouldn't you think you would know, hey, Joe seems to be a little too attracted to Johnny the altar boy?
Don't you think? That's why it should be more. What you just said should make it even more alarming, right? Because they're all living together. So obviously it's an accepted part of the culture there. It's not a weird phenomenon to them. It's normal.
I don't know.
The level of urgency should be through the roof, because obviously it's not just a cover up locally. It's a cover up worldwide.
Well, maybe Father Joe calls up the bishop. Maybe Father Joe calls the bishop and says, "Hey, we got a problem here. The guy, the priest I live with, is a little too attracted to Johnny the altar boy." It's the priest that turn him in to the boss, but the boss covered it up. The boss said, no, we're not going to let anybody know.
Yeah, the boss said, move him to two blocks over to St. Catherine's and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens.
Yes.
It's pretty horrible.
So, I don't know.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, and the Catholic Church apparently is not going to fix itself. It needs to be rooted out of the culture. It needs to be made illegal for the Catholic Church to exist in this form, and they need to be completely, I mean, I would hate to say this, but an organization like Antifa for Christians needs to be made up and completely eradicate the Catholic Church, because that is what needs to happen. Because these people are just pumping out the pedophiles.
Well,
it's an organization that creates pedophiles. I mean, I used to be a part of it. I grew up in it. I went to Catholic school. I did the whole nine. I was got the.
Well, I have to ask you, were you ever approached by a priest?
I was not approached by a priest. When I was a little kid, when I was in Catholic school, I wanted to be an altar boy. And I'm so glad I never got to be one because God was obviously protected me. Who knows what might have happened.
I was an altar boy. I was the chief altar boy. And I will tell you, I never got approached either. So I don't know how widespread this is, but they need to open up their secret society and start cooperating with law enforcement. That's all I got to tell you. This is bogus. What they've been doing is so wrong, and they seem to still be in denial. This Cardinal Wool of Washington, D.C. is still denying it, yet the prosecutor has proof in writing that he knew and covered up.
They're never going to come out and just plainly say, oh, look, we've got a problem in this culture here. We're going to change the... If they don't do that, if they don't change the law, if they don't change the vow of celibacy, what should happen?
This Cardinal Bignano came out and said, hey, this is what's going on. Let me hang the dirty laundry out here. And it goes all the way up to the Pope. So he did it.
Take more cardinals like that.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if they're out there. Pretty tight, closed group, it sounds like. When the Attorney General says it's an organized, sophisticated cover-up, I wonder how deep this goes. So, Greg in Texas, thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate your call. We got to take a break here in 1 minute. This is Attorney General Josh Shapiro saying the Bishop of Pittsburgh did not handle this correctly.
Two responses to Bishop Zubik. Number one, he's not telling the truth. And the church's own documents prove that. And second, Nora, child rape in 1970 is the same as child rape in 2018. Mm-hmm. It is unacceptable. And the idea that the bishop would just simply say, oh, well, this was a long time ago, is demonstrably false. And it is absolutely the wrong response to this.
Yeah, this guy has the goods. And the Bishop of Pittsburgh, he's calling him out, saying he is lying. Pretty dramatic stuff for me. Maybe not so much for you, but growing up Catholic, wow. This is makes me mad. More than mad. We'll be right back. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
America Joe says, some of this anti-Catholic propaganda, I read most of that report. One of the central beliefs of Catholicism is the sanctity of the confessional and the priest-penitent relationship privilege. Nothing was stopping any victim of anything from taking action. Joe, you are defending child rapists. And if a man is raping you and you're a child and he is of high position and power, and you say, just go to confession and tell him that all will be forgiven. No, he's raping you. And victims don't come forward for many, many, many reasons. But a lot of it is for a child. Who will believe me that the priest is raping me? Who will believe me? So I say nothing. You're defending the molester, Joe. David in St. Louis. Hello, David. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I don't know that he was defending. It's very difficult to say anything about the situation and not come across as defending. I'm a lifelong Catholic, and I absolutely believe that this is a hit piece. But I think what may be in order here is a little context. You know, there's close to maybe a little over 80 million Catholics in the country. And a recent, fairly exhaustive study came out that one in 12 students, and another study in the Chicago school system, was subject to some sort of sexual deviancy abuse.
Right.
And so maybe in this whole thing, a little context is in order. 80 million. You've got a couple of people doing some of this, and it's unexcusable, and I'm not excusing, But
no, I hear you, and I appreciate what you're saying, because, like I said, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was an altar boy for years. Nothing happened to me ever.
And same here. Both sides, paternal, maternal, Catholic, grade school, high school, college, giant Catholic cities. Never heard of anything like this, and no priests that are some of the best people you'll ever meet in your life. And this, the worst thing is what it's done to, you know, paint all priests like this from the actions
yes.
of a very small few.
It does make me wonder about some of the guys that I know that I think the world of that are priests, and how they've got to be. I wonder if they take their collar off when they go down to the store, because people are going to look at all of them now and lump them in.
Oh, they are. I have priests who are friends, and they shout at them in public at supermarkets now. It's crazy. And again, the whole context thing is, it really needs to be noted, you know, the school system. So you're safer in a Catholic school than the general schools in Chicago.
There's stories all the time in the news about some teacher that had some sort of sex with a underage student. Men, women, doesn't matter. If you are a pedophile, you go get a job where you will work with children. And that's coaches,
that's
all kinds of places.
In that vein, let me just tell you a theory that has been going around in the Catholic circles for a long time, that in the late 60s, 70s, there was a shortage of entrance into the seminary. A lot of bishops were under a great deal of pressure to fill these positions. And what they did is they laxed the standards, and men who would away from perhaps a little too effeminate or exhibiting some homosexual
your phone's breaking. We're going to be cut off here in 1 minute, but Pope Francis came out just a couple of years ago and put out an order to the seminary saying, get gay men out of the seminary. We don't want them in there. Gay men.
Well, then they came back. A lot of seminaries said, we're not going to do it, too.
Well, I've said it before. I don't care if a priest is gay. My beef is a priest that rapes children. And my real beef, beyond that alone, but is these bishops, man, cannot cover that up. They just cannot.
No,
something has to change.
Rail against that, but it does. But the church is 2,000 years old. The church will continue, and it'll get through this crisis. But I just, as I said earlier, I think a little context is in order with some
point.
Of this here.
It's a very good point. Well, and well said. You expect it very well. David, thank you. I appreciate the call. 855-295-6600. We will be right back.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So, yes, you are, and the Catholic Church is getting it big time from within its own ranks of Cardinal going after the Pope. You don't see that very often. Got an email from Bob White. He says, Tom, lifelong Catholic, I think that the cover-up goes farther back than just this Pope. Too many in the past to only be covered up by this Pope. Maybe they should let priests be married. I agree. I don't know. Man-made rules say nope, can't do that. Got to be celibate. No marriage. No nothing. Brittany in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Brittany. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Brittany. Brittany once. Brittany twice. Down the road we go. Bill in Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Doing good.
I think you hit the nail on the head when the story first broke, when you said some people become priests knowing that they're already a pedophile, and it's easy picking. You get into the Catholic Church, you're covered. They protect you for what you do. instead of being out there trying to find a little child on your own, they bring the victims to you.
I think that's a good point, is that if you are a pedophile and you're attracted to children, so you would go find a job where you could be around children, but the double whammy is, if the church is going to protect you, it's an even better place to go.
Exactly. Look at Jerry Sandusky. Look what he did.
Yeah.
He started his little boys' camp. Little boys were brought to him from hardship homes. All the parents had to do was fill out the form. Said, "Why do you want to bring little Jimmy here?"
Who's going to believe me versus the coach? I mean, the coach is the powerful guy, and I want to play for Penn State. Who's going to believe me? The coach has been around here for decades. Yes, it's all the same thing.
He opened a camp to help little children, and who's going to believe little me that I'm being raped compared to what he's doing or claims to do for the community?
Yeah.
I think it's time that you break the church up and you start from scratch. Like you said when the story first broke, if you're going to have a little boy with a priest, have a third party in there. Just like a doctor. When you go to a doctor, you have a third party in there with the doctor when you take your clothes off.
Yep.
Therefore, nothing funny goes on.
Yep.
We're talking about children here.
I know.
We're not talking about, homosexual out. We're not talking about homosexuals.
Nope.
That's in a world of its own. These are children. And they look like my daughter. She's 5 years old. She just started kindergarten last week. She looks at her teacher as the person, her best friend now. That's someone who's going to teach her. And as a parent, you have to believe that you're making the right decision by sending your child to school. Some of these people who send their children off to Catholic schools or to the altar boys or whoever's, or send them off to Jerryville camp, you believe you're making the right decision for the situation that you're in.
I'll put it in context. The last caller, I think, from St. Louis was right. You got to remember that this goes on in your public schools. It goes on over at the baseball team. It goes on any place where there are children. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. So, Bill, let me get some other calls, and I appreciate your call. Greg in San Diego. Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I went to Blessed Sacrament in San Diego. And in the late 70s, we never had any kind of issues. I remember when one of the boys would get in trouble or something, they'd say, "Wait, go in the hall and wait for the Monsignor to come," because we had two priests and a Monsignor.
Yep.
But there was always a nun present anytime that you were talking with the priest or the Monsignor.
Perfect.
So we were never, ever alone with them.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what they have to. I don't know whether that's one of their rules, but if it's not, they should adopt it. That the child is never alone with a priest or a nun. There's always a third person. Always. Just like Bill was saying.
That's why we in the hallway. We always went in the hallway, so it was exposed to everybody else, too. And then confession, the nuns were there also to lead you into the confessional, so we were always accompanied by somebody else. But here's another caveat. We were listening to Frank Zappa music back then, a lot of us.
Yep.
And Frank Zappa's talking about this stuff in 1968 and 70.
Really? In his music?
Yeah. Yeah, Father Riley. He always mentions Father Riley.
I wonder, since Frank isn't with us anymore, I wonder what he was... I always wonder what the meaning is of lyrics and songs anyway, but...
Well, if you go further on the lyrics that's online, you can see what he's talking about. Like in 79, Joe's Garage, that album, he's talking exactly about this one song, Catholic Girls. And we were, like I said, we never were alone with the priest or anything, so we just kind of, didn't think much of it. But now looking at what's going on now, I think back differently of it.
Yeah, Frank Zappa, I'm looking at Catholic Girls lyrics. Interesting.
Yeah, you see that?
Yeah, I am. I'm
talking about Father Riley.
I got to tell you, Greg, I'm not very, very good at lyrics. I never listen to lyrics. I listen to tunes. But here it is, Catholic Girls with a Tiny Little Mustache. Catholic Girls, yep. Do you know how they go? Catholic Girls in the Rectory Basement. Father Riley's a fairy, but it don't bother Mary. Catholic Girls in the CYO.
Yeah, huh. I remember CCD and CYO. I remember all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Me too. There's a bunch of us. And I go back to the caller from St. Louis about the fact that, yeah, you got to put it in context. My problem is I want to believe that most priests are good men. But what bothers me is if there's one out of 12 that's not, and the bishop covers up for that one, then shame on the more than shame on the bishop. The bishop should be prosecuted. Prosecuted. My humble opinion.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's my 2 cents. We never had a trouble with my school.
Me either. We're luckily that we weren't one of the ones that falls under this story. Greg, thank you. I appreciate the call very much. Let's get James in here very quickly from Sacramento. James, hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Tom?
Doing good.
I just wanted to let you know, I spent 2 years as a Franciscan friar, and, you know, we prior to entering religious life, we did, in fact, undergo intense psychological testing, and that includes, you know, personality tests, psychological interviews. I actually even underwent a handwriting analysis. So it can be intense, but even sometimes the best testing, it's not going to catch when somebody has an anger management problem. You know, I mean, we've had people snap and go off, like, you know, in religious life, you're like, wow. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, the same problems that exist in society exist in religious life. There are no angels in religious life. You know, as I said, I'm no longer with the Franciscans, and it was a choice I made that, okay, I liked my private time, and there's really no private time in religious life. I would be shocked to ever find out that any of the guys that I, you know, was in a friary with ever turned out to be pedophiles. I think you do know the people that you're with. And I don't know if we're going to see the same problems today that they had before. Now, I will tell you one of the reasons why I left, too, was I went to two of my superiors, and I said, hey, you know, we do have a guy in here who was saying inappropriate things to me. You just need to be aware of it. And when I went to the second director, because I was directed to go to the second director, he shut me down before I even had a chance to tell him. And before I departed, I went to him and I said, you're the reason why we had a problem in the Catholic Church.
Hold on can I hold you over? I have questions for you. And unfortunately, we lost him. He's on hold. Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Tom Sullivan. Call him.
People are asking me, what is this, you know, do you judge the Catholic Church as bad? And JM sends me a tweet, and I go, no, I truly believe, from my own experience, most priests are good men. But if there is one out of 12 that's not, and the bishop knows about it, and it gets covered up, then the bishop, I think, should be thrown out of the church. We're talking to James, who was a Franciscan friar. So you brought this up to one of your superiors, and you got shot down?
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, it was just inappropriate conversation, inappropriate questions from one of the other novices. And I just didn't think that where we were in formation that he should be talking to somebody. I understand people have their temptation and so forth. But I felt with what the church had already gone through with everything that happened in Boston, that they needed to be aware that there was somebody at this level of formation that obviously hadn't made the next step. I mean, it's sexually, he wasn't. All they're looking for in the psychological testing is to ensure that the guys that are coming into the church are comfortable in their sexuality. They've had They've had healthy relationships. They know who they are. And I didn't feel, you know, the questions this guy was putting to me, they were really inappropriate. But I didn't feel, I'm like, okay, they need to know about this. And, you know, the my director at the time, who he's actually a friend of mine, he shut me down. He was upset that I was even mentioning it. And he said, well, go tell this other director. And I said, okay. So I asked him, I said, do you have time to talk? And he goes, he told me, I think they had already talked, but he said, you're just spinning your wheels. You need to forget about this. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So when I made the decision to leave, I brought that back up to him. And I said, look, I told him, I said, I hope doesn't shut somebody else down that comes to him. Because I told him, I said, it's your silence and your unwillingness to hear somebody out, I said, that led to the type of problem that we had in the church.
Very much. Yeah, just the fact that
I love the church.
But for them to say, forget it, you're spinning your wheels, instead of saying, hey, listen, let's talk about this. Let's counsel each other on what brought it. You were basically, it sounds like, saying this guy isn't ready to dedicate himself to the church. And they're going, we need people, so just keep your mouth shut? That's what I got out of your story.
I don't want to say that, because I did see them send another guy home at the beginning of the year who clearly, he was a younger guy. He was about 21. And the guy admitted it. His hormones were just kicking in. And I think you also mentioned, Tom, about these guys that go to the minor seminaries at 14. You know, that they're not ready. You can't put them into a situation like that.
Nope.
And then expect them to be sexually mature enough to deal with anyone.
Right.
They're not going to relate to adults that are going through marriage problems, you know. And then you put them, you know, I think I'm not going to mention the entertainer's name, but we had another entertainer who was robbed of his childhood, who had problems with kids, you know. So I'll just say it, Michael Jackson. But he was put into a situation where he did not have a normal ability to develop. And I still think to this day that Michael Jackson didn't see what was wrong about having kids over sleeping.
Right, because he was immature in that department. It's very immature.
Right, exactly.
So
I think they try in some areas and then they fail in others.
Well, this is a political fight, and it looks like when you got a cardinal going after the Pope, I've never heard or seen anything like this in my lifetime. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, it's troubling. I think very highly of Pope Francis, and I think I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's going to demoralize a lot of people in the church, because he's been so trying to open up the church and correct wrongs and, you know, lift back the veil. There's just been this constant divide in the church. The truth needs to come off. Whatever the truth is, it needs to come off. And then, the Holy Spirit will lead this church. And, you know, I have to take exception to what Greg said, the two things he said, which was, we need an Antifa moment. No, we don't need an Antifa moment in the church. We need a Holy Spirit church.
Well,
moment.
Right now you got a prosecutor moment. That's the problem.
Yep,
you got prosecutors,
and they're gonna
dig on this. And the more the bishops fight them, the more trouble I think they have in store. I really do.
And that's okay. We can't have a reconciliation. We can't have reconciliation without justice. In other words, they can't solve a problem in the confessional if it's a legal problem. The prosecutors have got to weed this out if the church won't.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Well said. James, thank you very, very much, especially with your background. I appreciate your views on all of this. I don't know what prosecutors are going to do, but they're all looking at Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania AG says it's not just here. You know that. It's not unique to Pennsylvania. So the problem I have is, again, I think most priests are good people, but the bishops
who knew about the one priest in their diocese that wasn't good, was a criminal, and they covered up for them, that bishop, I think, should be thrown out of the church. I think that bishop should be put in jail. It's a crime. Cover up a rapist, child rapist? Ah. All right. On that note, how do we segue from that to the markets? The markets, by the way, last week of August, like 90% of the floor is gone. They're on vacation. But we got the market up 60 points today. The Dow at 26,124. S&P up 16, so a new record high there. NASDAQ up 79, so a new record there. The price of gold, oil, $69. And the price of 1 ounce of gold, $1,212 today. On the comment line, this caller thinks that we're too politically correct as a society.
I guess I got to get rid of all my monkey wrenches in my toolbox because I just can't use them anymore.
Yeah, somebody wanted me to play the Chuck Berry song, Monkeying Around. You got to be smart, though, if you're going to be a politician today. You got to be smart. And Gordon, this caller says the Pope is the one that needs to fix this.
He is the captain of the ship. He's the pilot in command. Whatever you want to call him, he's the man. And he needs to lay down the law to all the people below him and get this thing turned around.
I thought he was, but the other day when he was on that airplane going back to Rome and they asked him about it, and he says, I'm not going to say a word about it. Oh, he couldn't have picked the worst response more than that. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Pope needs to lead the charge. In the meantime, let's try this again tomorrow. We'll see you then.